This morning we read again from the Gospel of John, part of Jesus' last words to his disciples before he prepares to leave them. This morning is Trinity Sunday, which always follows on Pentecost Sunday. You'll note in the bulletin it says the liturgical color is white. I didn't forget to change my stoles or the antependia. I just feel that the Holy Spirit gets little press. We talk about God and Jesus all the time, so I decided this morning we'd mingle the white and red and give the Spirit another Sunday to be highlighted. So reading from the Gospel of John. I have said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so they are offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I warned you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, who comes to us in many ways and forms, God of the Hebrew Scriptures, God of the New Testament, God of Jesus of Nazareth, and God of that Spirit of truth that lingers always in our midst, we give thanks for your presence in our world and in our lives today. We ask that you would open us to your presence, that we would seek always your will and your way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Boy, there's nothing quite as irritating as having someone speak to you on behalf of someone else. I come from a family where we have pretty much perfected that art. If my sisters are listening to my sermon this week, they'll know what I mean. It was as if my father had no voice. We were always saying, "Oh, Dad's too tired to do that today. I think that will be too stressful for him. He should probably rest." Of course, it didn't help, actually, that our father liked the attention we paid to his every little whimper and moan. As a minister, rest assured that if you come to one of us to tell us people are saying, we always know it's your issue you're bringing to us, so don't try to hide behind the royal we. Ministers have that trick all figured out. In one of my churches long, long ago in a faraway land, there was a gentleman who almost every week after worship would catch one of us and use that line. You know, people are saying they wish we'd sing more familiar hymns. People are saying you should wear your gown all summer too. People are saying, people are saying, people are saying. People were always saying things, and we got a little tired of it. So I was designated to suggest to him that it would actually be much better if those people spoke to us themselves. Strangely enough, there was never another word from the people. Unfortunately, there are those in this world who try to speak on behalf of God as well. That's rather daring of them, isn't it? I mean, it's bad enough when you assume to speak on behalf of other humans, but to claim to have a word from God is pretty dangerous. The truth is actually that most people who are called to speak on God's behalf usually are smart enough not to want the job. Moses said he didn't speak very well in public. Jonah took off out of town as fast as he could because he didn't want to deliver any bad news to other people. If you think you have a message to deliver from God and you're really anxious to do it, chances are actually it's not a word from a divine source that you've got on the tip of your tongue. Even as clergy, we are simply charged with the humble task of interpreting God's word for helping to make it more accessible to people. When Jesus was preparing to leave his disciples, he assured them of the presence of a spirit that would remain with them to guide them in the way of truth. And so there is one person who has that awesome job of speaking on God's behalf, and that is the Holy Spirit. The big question is, how do you know when it's the Spirit you're hearing? Well, therein lies one of the biggest mysteries of the Trinity, I think, and one of the reasons the poor Holy Spirit takes a back seat. Because you just can't pin that spirit down. Whether or not we are literalists, at least we still have some solid material to deal with when we talk about God or Jesus. However we interpret them, we have the stories of our faith in the Bible to give us a clue about the nature of the other two members of the Trinity. But that wild and wonderful spirit that blows where she will is quite troublesome to us, actually, and rightly so. For one thing, people often attribute to the spirit their own perception of reality, which usually comes from a place of self-interest rather than divine inspiration. And what immediately comes to mind for me is that Southern preacher I'm sure we've all heard about who feels God wants him to have a private jet so that he won't be contaminated by evil people on a regular flight when he's en route to a speaking engagement. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't the Spirit who gave him that idea. But we don't even have to look south of the border to see examples of that these days, because unfortunately, I think the left wing of our own church can sometimes be as fundamentalist as the right. Because whenever we speak for or against any issue, any moral issue, with absolute certainty, as if we had direct access to divine will or wisdom, we always run the risk of assuming that we have heard the word, that we have a corner on the truth. So how do we know then if we are actually following the voice of that spirit Jesus told us would come to lead us in the way of truth? Well, I think the first and maybe most important clue to understanding the Spirit would be to remember the response of those biblical folk when they heard God's voice. Without exception, I think, God's voice was not welcomed as something that confirmed their complacency, but it rather was something that shook them up and demanded a sacrifice of them, demanded that they do something they didn't want to do, demanded that they accepted a challenge, that they move in a new direction, and that they rethink old assumptions. So if we think we have a word from God, and we're feeling rather smug because that word has just reaffirmed old assumptions in order for us to present them to others as gospel, then we're probably in trouble. If we've just been waiting for the right opportunity to prove that we know better than someone else, then probably the voice we have heard is actually that of self-interest rather than a divine presence. You know what? I'm done with the lectionary. I'm going to choose my own readings from now on. This is really hard stuff, eh? As we move forward to the future at St. John's to face the changes that have unfolded and to make decisions about our future, we will need to not only express our own thoughts and opinions about what we most need, what is best for us. We will need to perfect the fine art of listening for God's voice, discerning God's will. And that will require of us a willingness to move past our own thoughts and ideas and hopes and dreams to embrace whatever it is that Spirit might have in mind for us. And you know, that's a really hard sell for those of us who just want to get the job done. It means rather than just coming up with a good plan, we'll be spending time in prayerful reflection, truly seeking the wisdom of the Spirit, and waiting till there is a collective sense that we're on the right track, that we've discerned a will that is not just our own. You know, it would have made so much more sense for Jesus to have just left us a handbook, you know, a manual of correct procedures. It's way easier in life when everything is black and white. But we know that our God is not a God of black and white. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, not to abolish them, but he came to enhance them with a spirit of truth and love. Now it's our job to listen very carefully and to interpret wisely. May God be with us through his Spirit as we venture forward in faith.